Today is Pentecost Sunday. Our scripture readings are from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, and the gospel according to John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and then from chapter 16, the second half of verse 4 through verse 15. Today's message is titled, The Spirit of God. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what happened. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, What does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, They've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here ends our reading from Acts chapter 2, from the Gospel according to John chapter 15. Jesus speaking on the night he was betrayed. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify. If you have been with me from the beginning. Now John chapter 16, second half of verse 4. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regards to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father. Where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is what I said. The Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer from the Gelasium Sacramentary in our prayer. Wind. Wind. The moving of air is a wonder of creation. Air going from here to there. It's a wonder of creation. Think about it. You cannot see the wind. Look across the big open space, looking up into towards the sky. And unless there's clouds moving, you see the clouds moving, you know there's wind. Or if you look a little bit down, say you're looking across a great grain field, and it's only when the grain moves, as in amber waves of grain from the wonderful song, America the Beautiful. The waves of grain is what shows the movement of the wind. Wind blowing, it what makes the waves of water. Like water sloshing in a bathtub. You know a westerly wind blowing across Lake Erie can actually change the water levels. Yeah, a strong westerly wind blowing across Lake Erie can raise the water level at Buffalo nearly 7 feet and drop the water level at Toledo nearly 7 feet. It tilts the whole lake, the wind, a westerly wind that's powerful enough. I mean, the power of wind. We see the results of the power of the wind. When I was a child, one of my G.I. Joe adventure sets was a sail car. I mean, a three-wheeled wind-powered car. The car could change from a backpack into the escape vehicle, the wind sail car. So you have this blue triangle with the black wheels on it, and you pull out the yellow parts that make up the sail yard arms and sail upright, and you put the yellow sail on it. You put it all together, and then you put G.I. Joe into his place, strap him in, all set for an adventure. Can you just see me as a 7-year-old or 8-year-old boy, all set for that adventure? I just need some wind. You know, I tried blowing, and I just could not blow hard enough or enough wind. I mean, I just couldn't puff it myself. I need wind. I went into the kitchen, I grabbed a fan, I set the fan on the floor, turned it on high because I wanted to make sure it worked, and I placed G.I. Joe all ready for his adventure. Me as all ready for my adventure. That's what playing with G.I. Joe's was. I mean, my adventure. Strings in his hands, and off he went down the kitchen floor. The power of wind. Can you fathom the courage it took to venture out on those grand adventures of ages past, powered only by wind, and head west into the unknown? 1492, Columbus with the Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria. Or even then in 1519, Magellan's fleet of 5 ships 200 men to circumnavigate the globe. Just heading west and west and west and west, around the tip of South America, discovering the trade winds in the process, the winds that blow constantly in that direction. Eventually, only 18 of the crew remained, and the lone surviving ship, Victoria, completed the journey around the globe. Magellan didn't make it. Making it back to Spain in 1522, a little over 3 years after they left. Oh, now everyone knows the HMS Bounty and that famous mutiny in April 28, 1789. The Bounty on that botanical mission for breadfruit ended with mutiny and Captain Bligh and the 18 crew being cast off in the 23-foot ship's boat with some supplies. Did you know they sailed a remarkable over 3,600 nautical miles? Yes, 3,600 nautical miles to finally reach the European settlement in Timor. They did that in 47 days. Only one crew member was lost, being killed on Tofu when they stopped to try to resupply some things. The adventures of the age of sail, with wind power for sailing the ships. I visited a few of these ships, and maybe you have too, and walked on board these ships. I mean, I could hardly imagine venturing out in the open waters with only the supplies on the ship, and then at the mercy of the wind and the waves. Plymouth. They crossed the ocean in this? That's what I thought to myself when I was on the Mayflower. 102 passengers and 30 crew in this small ship? Mystic Seaport. They hunted whales with this Charles W. Morgan? Charles W. Morgan? I mean, or it's the Moran. I don't remember. But a Charles W. I mean, it's the last wooden sailing ship. They'd go out for a voyage, one sail voyage. They'd be out for 3 years on a single mission. And then in Boston, the frigate, the USS Constitution, Old Ironside, 304 feet from bowsprit to spanker. I mean, 175 feet at the waterline, 43 feet wide at the beam, compared to the Mayflower at only 110 feet. And only 26 feet at the beam in the Mayflower. Living quarters, usable space was only 90 feet. And 130 people were on that. And the Mayflower was only designed for coastal journeys up and down the coast. It was not meant to sail across the Atlantic, and they did. Oh, my goodness. Also in Boston is the Beaver, a replica. 85 feet from beam, and a beam of 24 feet. It's one of a replica of one of the ships that had the Tea Party on it. I mean, these old square-rigged sailing ships, they're something to behold. And if you've been to my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, the cover photo is of a revolutionary brig, the Fair American, that I've been building for years. Huge, from scratch, building the model. The hull is over 6 feet long, 24 inches wide, and when it's done, it will be over 11 feet long, and its main mast rising over 7 feet high. The main yard arm, 48 inches wide. And I started that model from scratch over 30 years ago. I think I need to finish it to enjoy the power of wind. It's meant for radio control, power of wind and sailing my own ship. I mean, wind. The moving of wind, the blowing of wind. The word wind in the Bible is an interesting word. It's very interesting that in the Scriptures, throughout the sacred Scripture, from the very beginning in Genesis all the way through the end, the Spirit of God is described as wind, as breath. And in both the Hebrew and the Greek, the same word in the Hebrew and the same word in the Greek. The Hebrew word is ruach, ruach. The Greek word is pneuma. And the meaning of ruach, the meaning of pneuma is wind, breath, spirit. Nicodemus comes in the middle of the night to see Jesus. And during the conversation, Jesus says, John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In this verse, the word wind and the word spirit are that same root word, pneuma. Ezekiel. You know that great story of events in Ezekiel? Ezekiel was brought to that valley of bones by the Lord and asked, the Lord asked him, can these live? These dry bones, can they live? And Ezekiel, following the commands of the Lord, spoke to the bones and commanded the bones to come together. And then the rattling sound happens and all the bones come together. They attach themselves together as they were before. But there was no breath in them. The Lord told Ezekiel to speak to the four winds to come. So Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 9. Then he said to me, that's the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. You heard breath, you heard wind, you heard not. They're all the same Hebrew root word, ruach. Jesus tells his disciples, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father to come. Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is spoken of in the night Jesus is betrayed. John chapter 16, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. One could do a very deep, deep and long-winded word study from these couple of verses about the Holy Spirit. I just want to bring a couple things forward to you briefly. The Spirit of truth. Truth, the Greek word is aletheia. And it means true truth. It means the reality of truth. Truth in the moral sphere, for this is a divine truth revealed to humanity. It's true truth. There is truth. True truth. Truth is not relative. This truth is true truth, for it comes from the very nature and character of God. That's what aletheia is. What this means, one cannot say the Spirit is doing a new thing when what is being done is contrary to the true truth already revealed by the true and living God in the Bible. You hear the phrase, well, the Spirit's doing a new thing, meaning the Holy Spirit's doing a new thing. The Holy Spirit, which is truth, cannot contradict what God has already revealed as true truth in the Holy Sacred Scriptures. A Spirit may be leading these new things, but that Spirit is the Spirit of this world, of this age. It is not the Holy Spirit. Example, the Kansas City Chiefs, three-time Super Bowl champion kicker, Harrison Butker Jr., he gave a commencement speech at Benedictine College, and now he's facing growing calls for him to be fired. They should be firing him. I mean, change.org petition has over 136,000 signatures. It's probably grown since I got that number. For the Chiefs to fire Butker. And in the petition are these words. Please sign the petition if you stand with us against discrimination and believe in fostering an inclusive society where everyone is treated with dignity and respect. The petition says stand against discrimination. Fostering inclusive society. Do you see the irony? Do you see the hypocrisy? They call to fire Bakkens for expressing the Roman Catholic Christian faith. Very well, he did. At a Roman Catholic college commencement. And they say that's discriminatory. The exact opposite of inclusive. Well, the spirit of the world today is inclusion for everyone except those who hold to the revealed word of God concerning marriage, family, dignity of human life. Don't doubt the spirit of this world is fighting against the true truth which the Holy Spirit brings. He will guide you, Jesus said. The word guide, it's a verb, hodego. It means to guide, it means to lead, it also means to teach. For the root word means instructor, teacher. The Holy Spirit is an instructor, is a teacher, teaching what is true truth. The divine truth that the Father declares, and the unity of truth in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as in the unity of truth, which is the reality of the unity of God as one God. The Holy Spirit will make this known to you. He will make it known to you. He will take it and make it known to you, Christ said. That make known is angeleo. And it means to announce, to declare. It's declaring a communication that has gone through all the necessary stages. So when the communication comes to you, it's complete and full. It is as it is. It's gone through all those steps. And then he will take and make it known to you. Make it known to you. Make known. That's anagaleo. And then he will take is lambano. Lambano. And lambano means to actively hold, to lay hold on and take. And it emphasizes the volition and the initiative of the receiver. The one that is receiving. The Holy Spirit will receive, take from Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and will make it known to you. So what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's making known to you is being received from, but it's actively being received and taken from the Son and making it known to you. What this means is the finished work of Christ on the cross was brought to its full completion when the crucified and risen Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to bring that perfect sacrifice into the perfect presence of the living God. The Holy Spirit announces that reality through the writings of the letters of the apostles to help us understand the faith revealed in Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross. It's written in Luke chapter 24, which is Luke's first book. Acts is Luke's second book. Luke is Luke's first book, the gospel. Luke writes in chapter 24, then he, that's Jesus, then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The task is being given to the disciples to be witnesses of these things, and it's a huge task. It's so huge they would need to be clothed with power from on high. The Greek word order is slightly different. It's actually clothed from on high with power. Heavenly power. They need heavenly power to be the witnesses. The Greek word is dunamis. Do you recognize dynamite comes from that? Dunamis. I mean, power. And this power, dunamis, it means through God's ability, you have the ability to do it. God's ability in you becomes your ability in daily life to grow in Christ, to grow in sanctification, to grow in witnessing. We need God's power, which is the Holy Spirit providing in us and through us. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. Have you ever been in a pipe organ loft? You know the loft where all the organ pipes are? The up tie up front. I've been in two different pipe organ lofts. One of the Ascension Lutheran in Columbus. And boy, you walk up there and you're way up high and you look down and oh my goodness, the pipes are way up there. And the other's Our Savior's Lutheran in Dayton too. And those pipes are off to the side. Not quite as high as the Ascension. But I mean, there's all these pipes there. And my dad for a while had his own pipe organ in our house. Well, sort of. He had a pipe organ in our house. My dad, you know, through the want ad, through the sales, he bought a pipe organ long, long time ago. Put the wind box, the wind chamber in the living room and put the pipes in that. Down in the basement, he put the blower motor, I mean a big, big blowing fan, and up through there and built a wind collection box so you could have enough wind mass, air mass to go. I mean, the pipes now began the major task of rewiring. It was never accomplished. You see, when they took the organ out of the organ loft and the console, organ console out of where it was, they just took a big pair of wire cutters and cut the inch and a half or so cable that ran all the wires to the solenoids of the air box. Talk about a puzzle to re... So that was never accomplished, the rewiring. But we were able to get sound out, turn the blower on, you take a little battery thing, and you could get the solenoids to move. And you could get the sound to let the air in. But what's interesting is the different sounds you could get. It's the same wind blowing into the air chamber, but you could get different sounds. Now these pipes, they're in St. Paul's, New Comerstown now, Ohio. My dad gave the pipes over to them. For St. Paul's, New Comerstown, their original building was burnt down by arson. And we actually went over there, my dad and my family, we were there when they dedicated the pipes in honor of my mom. So, I mean, the pipes are singing again in St. Paul's, New Comerstown. But the different sounds that were coming out, the shape of the pipe and the material of the pipe, wood and various metals, compounds. Different lengths, you know about different lengths. If you had to do slide whistle, woo, you've done slide whistle, you know different lengths make sounds. But I mean different openings. Is it a slit for the sound to go through, or is it a reed there at the opening? I mean, think of a clarinet and think of a saxophone. The different sizes of clarinets, the different sizes of saxophones. They're both reed instruments, different materials, different sizes, different sounds. I mean, you can tell the difference between clarinet and saxophone, or at least I hope you can. What about brass instruments? Brass instruments, all those various shapes and sizes, all resulting in different sounds. But the brass instruments, the sound is initiated in the mouthpiece with all the same vibrating lips beginning the initiation of the sound, with the wind coming from the reservoirs in the lungs, but distinctly different. Different sounds. As it's written about the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. The same Spirit, Ruach. The same Spirit, Pneuma, from the beginning of creation to coming upon Samson to tear that lion apart with his bare hands, to speaking through the prophets, and now on Pentecost came down with a violent rushing wind. If you read the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon people. After Pentecost, you read the Spirit dwells in the people of God. A difference. The Spirit has come to dwell in us. But the action of the Spirit, though, is very similar to what actually happened. It's written in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. At the dedication of the first temple, you know, the one that Solomon built? When Solomon finished his prayer, a whoosh came down from heaven of fire, and it surrounded all the temple and went in, and the glory of God came. Now here in Acts chapter 2, a violent rushing sound, and tongues of fire come to rest on each of them. The Spirit has now come in fulfillment of the prophet Joel, writing by the Spirit. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And it concludes with, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit works through you. Just like the different musical instruments, there's different gifts. Use your gifts for the Holy Spirit's work to bring good into this world. The world spirit, the worldview has changed. For that commencement speech the kicker of the Chiefs gave, if it was given 10 years ago, there wouldn't be the hubbub about it right now that's happening. If that speech was given 20 years ago, oh, it would be celebrated. If that speech was given 45 years ago, it would have been, hey, that's what we all say and think. It was the common understanding of the Judeo-Christian understanding of the world. And now, he must be fired. Do you see the irony and the hypocrisy in that? We must be inclusive and not discriminatory. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us live by the Holy Spirit. That's from Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, let us live by the power of that Spirit in us. In other words, walking in obedience to the Word of God and living out this thing called sanctification. When you were born again, you were justified and made right with God. The grace and the finished work of Christ has done that. Now, through the rest of your life, you're living out what justification means. And that's called sanctification. You are justified in Christ. Well, what does that look like in daily life? Well, hopefully tomorrow you do a little better than today, and tomorrow after that a little better than that. That is sanctification. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Don't fight it, but go with it. And don't allow the spirit of this world, of these days, to take you away from what the Holy Spirit says for you to walk in. For it's very easy to go along with the crowd, but lemurs go off the cliff together. Don't be like a lemur. Walk in the Spirit. Know the Word of God so that you can recognize the Spirit of God speaking to you. So live this life out. God wants you to be filled with His very presence, the Holy Spirit. So walk in the Spirit. Live in the Holy Spirit. And see what God can do through you. And if you run into hardships, you run into storms, you run into that. Oh my goodness, the Mayflower didn't almost make it. The Pilgrims almost didn't make it. But they made it. And the faith was planted. That influenced all these years later us and the Judeo-Christian principles. And you, don't give up. Trust the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, for you will see God, for you have been born again by the Spirit, just as Jesus said to Nicodemus. The wind blows, you don't know where it comes from, but just as those who have been born again by the Holy Spirit, trust you've been born again, and you will see God. The Spirit of God will take you there. Amen and amen.